COVID-19 is again surging in parts of the country, primarily due to the Delta variant. And of course, the new Omicron variant is spreading too. Officials are again urging vaccinations, and shots are now authorized for kids as young as 5. But here's the thing. A poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation found that 30% of parents with kids aged 5 to 11 want to wait and see. And another 30% say flat out, no, we don't plan to vaccinate our young kids at all. Now, one reason for this hesitancy may be something called omission bias. Psychologist Gretchen Chapman is here to tell us more. She heads the Department of Social and Decision Sciences at Carnegie Mellon University. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Now, we know there is misinformation about COVID-19 vaccines, but also a cognitive bias that could be in play that psychologists call omission bias. Does that mean, you know, if I have a choice between doing something and not doing it, and both have risk, I may lean toward not?
Yes, exactly. It means that harm that is caused by commission is viewed as worse than harm that results from omission, even if the magnitude of the harm is the same.
Why is that? I mean, especially with vaccines, is there evidence that, say, if I'm a parent, I might feel more guilty for actively choosing something that could do something wrong?
Yeah, I do think that guilt and responsibility is part of it. Omission bias is generally measured through giving people a scenario, usually a hypothetical scenario. Quite a few years ago, I did a study where I gave some university employees a scenario about a new disease we called nauseosis and told them they had a 10% chance of getting this new disease. And there was also a vaccine against the disease, which was completely effective at eliminating the risk of getting the new disease. But the vaccine itself could, in rare cases, cause the disease itself. And a lot of participants would not accept the vaccine, even if it led to a lower risk of the disease. And furthermore, the people that showed this omission bias pattern in our scenario, they were less likely to get a flu shot in real life.
Wow. And I guess to step back, is this part of a broader field of study that suggests that all of us, we humans, may not be as rational as we think we are?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what I think about all day long, every day, is how do humans make decisions and how do those decisions deviate from rational standards? So the rational standard here would be harm reduction. You know, how do you engage in the course of behavior that's going to reduce your total risk of harm? And in our scenario, that was getting the vaccine. And of course, all the evidence indicates that in real life, that would also be getting the COVID vaccine, that your risk of harm is much lower if you vaccinate than if you don't vaccinate. But we humans have a tendency to take more responsibility or feel more regret or guilt if the harm is caused by an action that we took rather than a harm just occurring independent of our action, even if there was an action we could have taken to prevent it.
Is there a lot of evidence that this omission bias exists with regard to vaccines in real life? We've, of course, have had so many vaccines in the last few decades.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of the research on the omission bias that uses these scenarios, the scenarios are almost always about vaccination. So John Barron and Alana Ritoff pioneered the work on this omission bias. And I think the reason that they started looking at it in the context of vaccines is because there are some live vaccines like the oral polio vaccine where the vaccine itself can cause the disease. Let me emphasize that the COVID vaccine is not like that. You cannot get COVID from the COVID vaccine. There are some vaccines in our history that did have that feature, and that makes it sort of a perfect setup for studying this distinction between omission and commission.
So are there ways to overcome this omission bias that we all may have? I'm sure you and I have been in a lot of conversations where the suggestion is, well, let's just keep hammering people with facts and with evidence, and that'll do it.
Well, the omission-commission bias results from treating, of course, omissions and commissions differently. And the way to avoid it is to think about any choice as an action. So if you choose not to act, you're still making a choice. So I don't have any data on this, but I'm sort of thinking about what would happen if, rather than just not showing up to the vaccination clinic, if you didn't want to vaccinate or you didn't want to get your kid vaccinated. You actually had to make an active choice. You had to, I don't know, show up to the clinic anyway. But then once you get there, make an explicit expression of the fact that you weren't going to get vaccinated. That makes it seem more like you're making an active move there. And then how would you feel if later you got COVID after you actively went to the clinic and said, no, I'm here and I don't want my vaccine?
I see. So that is the decision to take some action is actually opting out, whereas opting in is kind of the norm. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Omissions are kind of by their nature more passive. You might not get vaccinated just because you forgot or you didn't get around to it or you weren't thinking about it. But if you were cued to actively decline the vaccine, then it's not really an omission anymore, right? It's more of an action. And because we think that the omission bias is driven in part by this feelings of regret or guilt if a bad outcome happens later, it's possible that your feelings of regret after actively turning down the vaccine and then getting sick would be different than if you just sort of passively avoided the vaccine and then later got sick.
I wonder then, this choice, the way you describe, is being presented to a lot of us, say, federal government workers, right? They have to do this unless they get an exemption or give a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
More
mm-hmm.
companies are doing the same thing. The default is to get the vaccine. So in a way, is society with these vaccines potentially kind of moving toward this choice mm-hmm. architecture that you're talking about?
Yeah, I really like that connection that you're drawing, that is indeed one thing that a vaccine mandate does, is you can't passively avoid the vaccine. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you have to explicitly ask your employer or organization to give you an exemption. And of course, we've seen that when mandates are instituted, vaccination rates do go up. And there could be a lot of reasons for that, of course, but possibly it's because it's turning that omission into a commission.
Now, behavioral science suggests we all just struggle to weigh risk in general. Why?
Risk is very difficult to evaluate for individuals because it doesn't map directly onto our experience. So sort of by definition, you have to rely on scientific data to really understand low probability risky events. And our cognitive systems didn't evolve to be able to understand scientific data easily. Our cognitive systems evolved to understand our own experience. And our experience is almost always too small of a data set. So, you know, we're now almost 2 years into this pandemic. I, to my knowledge, have not contracted COVID during that time. What I would learn from my experience is that the world is pretty safe. I haven't gotten it so far. How risky could it be? But that would be the wrong conclusion for me to come to.
Gretchen Chapman is the head of the Department of Social and Decision Sciences at Carnegie Mellon University. Professor Chapman, thanks so much for the time.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.